So I'm not the first? No, of course you're not. But you're the last. If you don't learn, there'll be no time to find anyone else. So I have hope for you, if only because you are the only one left to hope for. What about the others, my squadron leaders? Which of them is fit to take your place? A lie? Be honest. Ender had no answer then. I am not a happy man, Ender. Humanity does not ask us to be happy. It merely asks us to be brilliant on its behalf. Survival first, then happiness, as we can manage it. So, Ender, I hope you do not bore me during your training with complaints that you are not having fun. Take what pleasure you can in the interstices of your work, but your work is first. Learning is first. Winning is everything, because without it, there is nothing. When you can give me back my dead wife, Ender, then you can complain to me about what this education cost you. I wasn't trying to get out of anything. Oh, but you will, Ender, because I am going to grind you down to dust, if I can. I am going to hit you with everything I can imagine, and I will have no mercy, because when you face the buggers, they will think of things I can't imagine, and compassion for human beings is impossible for them. You can't grind me down, Mazer. Oh, can't I? Because I'm stronger than you. Mazer smiled. We'll see about that, Ender. Mazer wakened him before morning. The clock said 03:40, and Ender felt groggy as he padded along the corridor behind Mazer. Early to bed and early to rise, Mazer intoned, makes a man stupid and blind in the eyes. He had been dreaming that buggers were vivisecting him, only instead of cutting open his body, they were cutting up his memories and displaying them like holographs and trying to make sense of them. It was a very odd dream, and Ender couldn't easily shake loose of it, even as he walked through the tunnels to the simulator room. The buggers tormented him in his sleep, and Mazer wouldn't leave him alone when he was awake. Between the two of them, he had no rest. Ender forced himself awake. Apparently, Mazer meant it when he said he meant to break Ender down, and forcing him to play when tired and sleepy was just the sort of cheap and easy trick Ender should have expected. Well, today it wouldn't work. He got to the simulator and found his squadron leaders already on the wire, waiting for him. There was no enemy yet, so he divided them into two armies and began a mock battle, commanding both sides so he could control the test that each of his leaders was going through. They began slowly, but soon were vigorous and alert. Then the simulator field went blank. The ships disappeared, and everything changed at once. At the near edge of the simulator field, they could see the shapes drawn in holographic light of three starships from the human fleet. Each would have 12 fighters. The enemy, obviously aware of the human presence, had formed the globe with a single ship at the center. Ender was not fooled. It would not be a queen ship. The buggers outnumbered Ender's fighter force by 2-1, but they were also grouped much closer together than they should have been. Dr. Device would be able to do much more damage than the enemy expected. Ender selected one starship, made it blink in the simulator field, and spoke into the microphone. Ali, this is yours. Assign Petra and Vlad to the fighters as you wish. He assigned the other two starships with their fighter forces, except for one fighter from each starship that he reserved for Bean. Slip the wall and get below them, Bean, unless they start chasing you. Then run back to the reserves for safety. Otherwise, get in a place where I can call on you for quick results. Ali, form your force into a compact assault at one point on their globe. Don't fire until I tell you. This is maneuver only. This one's easy, Ender, Ali said. It's easy, so why not be careful? I'd like to do this without the loss of a single ship. Ender grouped his reserves in two forces that shadowed Ali at a distance. Bean was already off the simulator, though Ender occasionally flipped to Bean's point of view to keep track of where he was. It was Ali, however, who played the delicate game with the enemy. He was in a bullet-shaped formation and probed the enemy globe. Wherever he came near, the bugger ships pulled back as if to draw him in toward the ship in the center. Ali skimmed to the side. The bugger ships kept up with him, withdrawing wherever he was close, returning to the sphere pattern when he had passed. Faint, withdraw, skim the globe to another point, withdraw again, faint again. And then Ender said, "Go on in, Ally." His bullet started in, while he said to Ender, "You know they'll just let me through and surround me and eat me alive." "Just ignore that ship in the middle. Whatever you say, boss." Sure enough, the globe began to contract. Ender brought the reserves forward. The enemy ships concentrated on the side of the globe nearer the reserves. "Attack them there, where they're most concentrated," Ender said. "This defies 4,000 years of military history," said Ally, moving his fighters forward. "We're supposed to attack where we outnumber them. In this simulation, they obviously don't know what our weapons can do. It'll only work once, but let's make it spectacular. Fire at will." Ally did. The simulation responded beautifully. First one or two, then a dozen, then most of the enemy ships exploded in dazzling light as the field leapt from ship to ship in the tight formation. "Stay out of the way," Ender said. The ships on the far side of the globe formation were not affected by the chain reaction, but it was a simple matter to hunt them down and destroy them. Bean took care of the stragglers that tried to escape toward his end of space. The battle was over. It had been easier than most of their recent exercises. Mazer shrugged when Ender told him so. "This is a simulation of a real invasion. There had to be one battle in which they didn't know what we could do. Now your work begins. Try not to be too arrogant about the victory. I'll give you the real challenges soon enough." Ender practiced 10 hours a day with his squadron leaders, but not all at once. He gave them a few hours in the afternoon to rest. Simulated battles under Mazer's supervision came every 2 or 3 days, and as Mazer had promised, they were never so easy again. The enemy quickly abandoned its attempt to surround Ender, and never again grouped its forces closely enough to allow a chain reaction. There was something new every time, something harder. Sometimes Ender had only a single starship and 8 fighters. Once the enemy dodged through an asteroid belt. Sometimes the enemy left stationary traps, large installations that blew up if Ender brought one of his squadrons too close, often crippling or destroying some of Ender's ships. "You cannot absorb losses," Mazer shouted at him after one battle. "When you get into the real battle, you won't have the luxury of an infinite supply of computer-generated fighters. You will have what you brought with you and nothing more. Now get used to fighting without unnecessary waste." "It wasn't unnecessary waste," Ender said. "I can't win battles if I'm so terrified of losing a ship that I never take any risks." Mazer smiled. "Excellent, Ender. You're beginning to learn. But in a real battle, you would have superior officers and, worst of all, civilians shouting those things at you. Now, if the enemy had been at all bright, they would have caught you here and taken Tom's squadron." Together, they went over the battle. In the next practice, Ender would show his leaders what Mazer had shown him, and they'd learn to cope with it the next time they saw it. They thought they had been ready before, that they had worked smoothly together as a team. Now, though, having fought through real challenges together, they all began to trust each other more than ever, and battles became exhilarating. They told Ender that the ones who weren't actually playing would come into the simulator rooms and watch. Ender imagined what it would be like to have his friends there with him, cheering or laughing or gasping with apprehension. Sometimes he thought it would be a great distraction, but other times he wished for it with all his heart. Even when he had spent his days lying out in the sunlight on a raft in a lake, he had not been so lonely. Mazer Rackham was his companion, was his teacher, but was not his friend. He made no complaint, though. Mazer had told him there would be no pity, and his private unhappiness meant nothing to anyone. Most of the time it meant nothing even to Ender. He kept his mind on the game, trying to learn from the battles, and not just the particular lessons of that battle, but what the buggers might have done if they had been more clever, and how Ender would react if they did it in the future. He lived with past battles and future battles both, waking and sleeping, and he drove his squadron leaders with an intensity that occasionally provoked rebelliousness.